الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم افلا يتوبون الى الله ويستغفرونه والله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, for the last 2 weeks we had been mentioning details about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The object is so that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day and ask for our forgiveness, and we regard no sin to be greater than the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The object is to induce us and to encourage us to make tawbah and istighfar. And as I mentioned, one basic requirement to make tawbah and istighfar is confession or admission of guilt. That can only happen if you have knowledge of the sins. What is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should know that as well. And this we can only acquaint ourselves when we go to the ulama-i kiram or we study the Quran and hadith. We'll understand what is the disobedience of Allah and what is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, because we lived in a mixed environment of Muslims and non-Muslims, environment of sin, where programs are made of sin, and we feel sometimes that no, this is permissible because of the last majority of people participating, permissible for me as well. This is not proper. It is for us to establish what is sin and what is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we had mentioned one hadith last week and some incidents how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven people despite the magnitude of their sins. No matter how great their sins were, 100 people have been killed by this man, but his heart is full of sorrow and grief, and he's full of remorse and regret, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. Similarly, that person that had come to the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his presence, and had mentioned, "Hi, alas, my sins." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to mention these words, that, "O Allah, maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhanbi," that your forgiveness is more vast and more spacious than my sin. No matter how great my sins are, but your forgiveness is much more vast. And وَرَحْمَتُكَ أَرْجَعَ عِنْدِي مِنْ عَمَلِي, and your mercy, I have more hope in your mercy than I have in my actions. These words should be learned by one and all. These were three times he mentioned, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to stand up and go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. Why? We had mentioned, firstly, he had confessed to his sins. Secondly, he was worried about his sins. Thirdly, he had before him the great amount or unlimited extent of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourthly, he was sorrowful and he wanted his sins to be forgiven. So by saying these few words in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was forgiven. We have also mentioned that hadith wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses each one of us and says, irrespective of the amount of sins that you have, as long as you keep making dua to me, having hope in me, I will forgive you. If your sins reach up to the skies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, then also I will forgive you. And if you come with the earth full of sins and you meet me in such a state that you don't make shirk, then I will come with the earth full of forgiveness to you. Now this is all calls from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is completely free, completely independent of us. And towards who? Towards us. We are completely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every moment, in every aspect of our lives, we are completely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our existence, in our safety, in our rozi, in our provisions, in whatever we need in this dunya, every single second we are dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely dependent from independent from us. إِيَّشَا يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Allah ta'ala wishes, he'll take you away and come with a different nation, with a different creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of me and you, but yet we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies and his forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us and tells us that we should come forward towards asking for tawbah and istighfar. As I mentioned over and over in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, and أيُّ turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Over and over again we are addressed to come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only is most forgiving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbu al-afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are forgiving. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, tuhibbu al-afwa, and you love to forgive. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. He loves those people that turn to him for forgiveness. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a parable to show the extent of happiness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a servant turned towards him and asked for forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions one hadith words to this effect, that there's a wayfarer, there's a traveler that's carrying, that is undertaking a journey, and he is on a camel. And in those days, all their needs and provisions used to be laden onto the camel as well, like when we go with our cars, etc. All our requirements were put in there. All his requirements of food, drink, etc., provisions are on that camel. And he's traveling in the desert. He stops his travel and he lays down, sits down, lies down to rest. While he falls asleep, when he awakes, when he comes up from his sleep, he sees that that camel is lost. That camel is lost, and he goes out searching for that camel. Now that camel being lost means not only is his conveyance lost, all his outer means of sustenance and livelihood are lost now. He is in a desert where there is no means for him to be surviving. And he goes around searching for his camel, and he does not find his camel. He comes back and he lies down now this time to die, because he has nothing to go by, no provisions. And suddenly he sees out of nowhere that camel comes to him, fully laden with all his provisions. Then we all know the extent of his happiness now, in other words, from death now, he is being rescued, so to say, going to be saved now from death. He has the outward provisions and means to sustain himself. Out of extreme happiness and joy, he says, "Oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord." We all know when a person is extremely happy, he loses his composure and understanding. He does not know what he's saying. We even tell the person sometimes, "You don't know what you're saying." This is exactly what he says, that, "Oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Allahu afrah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased than how this servant is pleased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes more happier than what this person has become happy when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asks for forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, I had mentioned we should contemplate on the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Every moment and every second we find the torrential rains of the ni'mats and favors of Allah are showering upon us. And this, as I mentioned, in real day life, go outside in real life, go outside and see the conditions of so many people who are surrounding us, living around us. Look at the living conditions. Sometimes the person's health condition, his wealth or financial condition is far below what mine and yours is. This is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq and guidance that Allah has given us with some frequent masajid, etc. And you can go on counting and enumerating the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So loyalty demands that we should not go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the everyday rule in our lives. That wife of mine for whom I go and earn, and I give out some outward provision for her. If she does something against my command, she does something against my wishes, then how disturbed do I feel? How do I feel how disloyal she is to me? She is not listening to me. That son of mine who I outwardly care for, and I go and earn with the strength that Allah has given me, and with the know-how that Allah has given me, and get the rosy that Allah has destined for me, and I outwardly give it to him, and he is reared up and brought up in my home. He does something against my command, something against my requirement. Then how offended do I feel? That this person is not listening to me. The son of mine is not listening to me. He is disobedient to me. And what is our reaction? Our first reaction is to retaliate at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go on sinning from morning till evening. Those ni'mats are with us. Those eyes are with us with which we sin. Those tongues are with us with which we sin. Allah has the full power of snatching it away in a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us respite. Our reaction is immediately we retaliate. Our reaction is we want to take that son out of the house. We don't want to speak to him any longer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reaction is what? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allah. Qul ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Oh, those servants that oppress themselves, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Come forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Here you want to take him out of the house, don't want to listen to him and don't want to forgive him. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us towards forgiveness. And if you forgive him once or twice, and thereafter we say, how many times must I forgive you? And as I mentioned, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person can come a million times, the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open of forgiveness. There's never a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the banda and servant that I do not want to forgive you, I have forgiven you enough. So what should be our reaction when we are the ones that are needy, when we are the ones that sins will harm? We can sin right up to the skies, and throughout our lives, it will not harm the majesty and glory and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to an iota. But we are the ones that are harmed by sin. We are the ones that should go forward, come to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek sincere forgiveness. And as I mentioned, the first condition of sincere forgiveness is regret and remorse in the heart. If a person says with his tongue 1,000 times, but he has no regret, no remorse, he's not ashamed of the sin, then this is not real tawbah, and this is not istighfar. An-nadumu tawbatun, like we had mentioned last week, an-nadumu tawbah, that making nadamat and feeling regretful and remorseful and ashamed over the sin, this in itself is tawbah and istighfar. But as I mentioned, the first condition, a person must confess that I am a sinful person. Then it becomes easy for him to turn towards tawbah and istighfar. But unfortunately, as I mentioned, today we cannot distinguish sometimes between sin, between vice and virtue, and a person is a sinful person, but yet he says, what wrong have I done? What is wrong with my actions? So-and-so is also carrying out this action. So-and-so is also doing this. As I mentioned, so-and-so does not make the sharia. The sharia is made by the command of Allah and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here there is a remarkable incident recorded about a young person who realized his sins. This to show how a person, when he regrets, is remorseful of his sin, how tawbah becomes easy for him. A young person comes to Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah. Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah, a very great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person comes to him, a young person, and he says, "Oh Shaykh, I've oppressed myself. I have made a lot of oppression upon myself. Otherwise, I have disregarded the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am soaked in sin. Give me some advice. And what is the object of the advice? Not to increase my knowledge, but so that I can stop sinning and my heart can be turned away from sin." Here it shows that a person, as long as he does not want to be persistent on his sin, and he is regretful and remorseful, then he will want to be shifted away from the sin, turned away from the sin. So he asks him, "Give me some advice, because I am a great oppressor, and I have sinned a lot, and I wish to, so that my heart can be turned away, I can stop sinning, and my heart can be focused and shifted away from the sin that I am engrossed in." Ibrahim bin Adham rahimullah tells him, a great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tells him that I will tell you 5 things, and if you accept these 5 things, then sins will not harm you. Sins will not harm you, and you will not find any more pleasure and enjoyment in sin. If you realize these 5 things that I will tell you, then sins will not harm you. In other words, you will stop sinning. And this applies to each one of us, to me and to you and to all of us. It was an advice given to that young person, and he changed his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change my life firstly and all our lives, and we just turn our hearts away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told him, Oh young man, when you have the intention of sinning, then abstain from eating from the rosy and sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not eat the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then carry on sinning. So he told him, "Oh Shaykh, how is that possible that they do not eat the sustenance and the rosy and provision that is given to me from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? From where will I eat then? From where will I eat if I do not eat from the ni'mats and the bounties that Allah has given me?" So he told him, "Do you like to eat the rosy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at the same time be disobedient to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that provides for you?" Let us think about ourselves. Look at the rosy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So bountiful and so merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A little bit of effort and we find various types of sustenance is given to us. Especially now when you look around, certain thing has come from a certain country, thousands of miles away to our shores, and we just go down and we buy it. The availability of items in our country, etc. And we make a little bit of effort and those things are there. The types of fruits that we have, types of vegetables that we have, the types of meat that we have, all the other types of foods that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So easily these ni'mats are given to us. Go to any store and see the different types of juices that you can drink, the different types of things, whether it is fruit, whether it is vegetable, whether it is the type of biscuits or whatever it is, types of ice creams, etc. All these roses given to us by who? By none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here a person carries on sinning and being disobedient to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is so gracious and so merciful and so beneficent to us. Then he told him that, Oh young person, when you think of sinning, then go out from the towns of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lands that Allah has created, go out from there, don't dwell and stay in there. He says, how? This is even more difficult than the first one. So Allah belongs the east and Allah belongs the west. And how can I leave the house, the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever I am in one of the towns of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at us, the towns and the infrastructures and the areas that Allah has given us, so nice and green and lush and beautiful. We are residing here and staying here. He tells him, if that is the case, O young man, then how is it, how would you like to eat the rosy of Allah, stay in the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and still be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Would you like to do so? He says, no, definitely, I would not like to do so. Thirdly, he tells him, O young man, if that is the case, then when you intend doing sin, then go to such a place, such a remote place, such a place of isolation, such a place where nobody can see you, where nobody can see you. He says, oh, Shaykh, that is not possible. That is not possible because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge is everywhere. Allah ta'ala is everywhere. Allah ta'ala sees everything and perceives everything. Even those things that are hidden, those are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it possible for me to go to a place where I am not seen by anyone? Then he appeals to him again and tells him, how would you like to eat the rosy of Allah, staying in the towns of Allah, and before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are being disobedient. Let us reflect and ponder. We have a staff. We have our wife, we have our children. Before us they come and they're doing something that is against our wishes. How? What happens to us? What is our condition? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Haleem and so tolerant. Before him we are sinning. Person is being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ السُّدُورِ. And the Holy Quran is filled up. سَمِيعٌ بَسِيرٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your actions. Allah ta'ala sees your actions. Allah ta'ala hears what you say. Allah ta'ala knows, is well acquainted with what you do. Over and over again to remind us that we are there before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And not only that, there are so many. We are under civilians 24 hours out of 24. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kiram and katibin are watching us. The books, our books are being written. The earth is bearing testimony to our actions and different parts of our body. In some verses of the Quran, the hands and the feet. Some verses of the Quran, the eyes and the ears. And the skins also will bear testimony to our actions on the day of judgment. And some riwayats, every organ of the body will bear testimony toward my sin. So how can I conceal myself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He gives him this third advice. And thereafter, the fourth advice he gives him, he tells him, when Malikul Maut will come to you, then tell him to wait. Tell him to wait, I will carry out good deeds. Give me some respite, I will carry out good deeds, I will become pious, and I will make tawbah, then I will come to you. He says, oh Shaykh, this can never happen. The time when it's set for me, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. And we see this in everyday life. A person is preparing to do this, that very moment his life goes. He picks up a luqma before he can put it into his mouth, the life goes. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give respite to any soul when the appointed time comes. So he said, Malikul Maut will not wait for me. He will not wait for me to carry out good deeds. He will not wait for me. Give me an opportunity to make tawbah. So he says, if that is the condition, what hope do you have of salvation when that is the condition, when you know you're continuing your life full of sin and you know that there's no respite in the time of death, then what hope have you got for salvation? Why are you continuing sinning? Then he says, the fifth advice he gives him, every moment when he gives one piece of advice, that youngster tells him, and tell me the third one, and tell me the fourth one. He tells him, tell me the fifth thing that you wish to tell me. He says, the first point is this, when the Zabaniya, the angels of Jahannam come to you to take you and throw you into the fire of Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, then do not go with them. Do not go with them. Tell them to leave me alone and do not accompany them. He says, this is not possible. This is never possible that those angels will leave me and I will not accompany them. Thereafter, he says, to show that what effect it had on him when he began to contemplate upon all these ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we and you, all of us have, then he began to say, oh, our condition is just as the condition of this person. We are so weak before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We eat the rosy of Allah. We live in the towns and the lands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are before the watchful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have no power against the angel of death. We have no power against the angels of Jahannam. Then what was the effect on this person? He said, kafi hai, kafi hai. This is sufficient for me. This is sufficient advice for me. Now I will turn and make tawbah and I'll seek for forgiveness for my sins and I will repent for my sins. It's mentioned thereafter this young person spent his entire life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was only death that made him, that separated him from the worship of Allah and from salat, etc. Only the angel of death separated him. So this is applicable to all of us. Just a little bit of contemplation that what are we before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what are the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loyalty demands that we fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. even if it's mentioned, some commentators write, even if there was no sin, I mean, even if there was no punishment for the sins that a person carries out, loyalty demands, and a person of dignity will be that person who, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us so much ni'mat, how can we ever be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we perpetrate sins openly and boldly against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, and we should ask for repentance for all the types of sins, whether they are minor sins or major sins. And because some commentators mention there is no sin as a minor sin, why? Because if you're looking at the grandeur and greatness and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even if it is a small and a slight deviation from the Sharia, this is also major because of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person has the spirit of loyalty, he has the temperament of loyalty, then a person doesn't want to be disloyal to his friend, to his wife, to his person that is above him, even to the slightest degree. Why? He doesn't want to earn his anger, or doesn't want to earn his displeasure in any way. So similarly, it should be the state of a mu'min to stay away from all types of sin, whether they are minor sins or whether they are major sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to immediately seek forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek forgiveness regularly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sins that we perpetrate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to discern between right and wrong, between vice and virtue, between good and bad. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.